Okay, would you please put your hands, right hand to your chest and say, I am happy today. Say that you really mean it. I'm happy today because Christ is here. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to know and to remind ourselves always that we are happy. You know, regardless of the circumstances that we are going through, the Lord has a promise to us that He is with us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And I hope also that you are happy with me. And then Pastor Chris said to me, oh, Pastor, what you have done to my church? What? The church went out. Oh, look. Okay. Anyway, but we will deal it today. Okay, because my topic today is about closing the back door. Closing the back door of the church. Okay. So, this closing the back door, or this topic, it's not something to do about the literal back door of the church. You know, there is a back door here. You know? But because if we close the back door, we might be in trouble with the fire department, isn't it? Yeah. So, but this is something to do with the spiritual matters, or how the church or the people church, the usual thing that happens to church when people come, then all of a sudden they will go. Okay. So I call this, it's about the come and go syndrome of the church. And I believe that the church never run out of people where God is bringing. From time to time, God is bringing people in the church. But somehow, for a little while, they just gone. And they don't stay in the church. Why? Because the back door of the church is might be open widely, very often. Okay, and this is one of the reasons why the church is not growing, because there is a back door. In physical structure of the church, back door is needed for security. But in the church, back door, or spiritual church, back door of the church must be closed. Back door of the church must be dealt with, because it won't help the church to grow. Okay, so if we want the church to grow, it must be dealt. Okay, there are four types of cases of backdoor syndrome in the church. Okay, number one, there are people who came, stayed for a while, then they all went out. And then it's just like this. Okay. I'll just read it. Okay. Let's just go back in John 15 verse 16. The Lord says, you did not choose me, but I have chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. The Lord's will is for every fruit that we bring to the Lord will remain in His church, and it is God's dream that everyone who believe in the Lord will continue in their faith in the Lord. Okay, so this backdoor syndrome of the church has four different types or different cases. Number one, there are people who came, stayed for a while, then they all went out. Okay, it's like this one. This is like a church. Okay, I draw it. The church. Then go on. Then, for example, there are people the Lord brought. 10 people the Lord brought into the church. But because of the back door of the church is the same, it's widely open, Then all of a sudden, they all went out. And then do you believe the church will grow? Why? Because the size of the entrance door and the size of the outer, the back door is the same. So how could we accumulate people in the church if the size of the entrance and the size of the back door is the same? So the church will not grow. Okay, number two, there are people who came in, stayed for a while, but when they went out, this is worst thing. They brought somebody else with them. Oh, this is very, oh, like this one. Okay. Hardly, 5 people came in the church. Then when they stayed for a while, they went out, but the worst thing is, they brought other people with them. Look. 5 minus 10, how many people? For example, if the church is 50 people, 5 people came, then 10 people went out. How many people remain? Oh, do you think the church will grow? Why? Because the size of the entrance or the size of the back door is bigger than the size of the entrance. Okay, the other thing is, people came, most of them stayed, and hardly few of them left. Oh, this is quite good. Okay. For example, if then 10 people came, then only 5 people went out. Do you think the church will grow? Yes, somehow. Amen. Could you give... yeah, the church will grow. Amen. Okay. So the entrance is larger than the back door. This must quite a good one. Amen. Okay, but the good one is this. Okay, the best thing is many people came and no one wants to leave. Amen. How many of you be dreaming of that kind of church that every people that the Lord is bringing, when they experience being with us, with the lovely people here, and they decided, oh, I don't want to live anymore here. As if I feel I'm in heaven. Wow, amen. Let us dream of that kind of church. Amen. Amen. That is, you know, you see, the size of the door, the entrance door, there is no... Totally no back door. Do you think the church will grow? Absolutely. Amen. Okay, there are some working principles that I want to share with you that would really help the church to grow. Of course, there are some practical details that you need to work out, but you need to work out that practical details based on these principles. It is important to have working principles because it is, you can do some, physical things or any practical things in the church. But sometimes if you don't understand the principles behind, your body is working on the details, but there is something lacking. It is the heart. But when you understand the principles, the heart is there, the passion is there. While you do the details of the mechanics or structure of the things that needs to be done inside the church, isn't it? You can be a good in many things. You can be efficient in doing something, but it is a different thing when you do something with your heart in it. Isn't it? You know how to do it? When you understand the principle behind everything that you do. Amen. Are you here? Amen. That's what I am presenting to you is the principles. Okay? There are some principles that we need to work out. Okay? For the church to close its back door. Okay? Later, Pastor Chris, get a hammer and put some piece of wood there. It's like a prophetic gesture. We will close the back door of the church. Amen! Amen. I'm giving Pastor Chris a tip, crazy tips. Okay, number one. Okay, number one, the principles that help the church or deals the church in its problem of the back door is the people who comes or the people who came to the church must have a personal encounter with the Lord. With the Lord Jesus Christ. First John chapter 1 verse 3, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. So it means the disciples, the apostles had personal touch with the Lord. They understood, they have a personal encounter with the word of life. I believe encounter with the Lord, if everyone who comes to the church has an encounter with the Lord, I tell you, I guarantee you, this person will be transformed and this person will be revolutionized in all matters of his life. And the commitment is not a matter anymore. It's not an issue to anyone who has the personal encounter with the Lord. You see the apostle? Did you know what happened to the apostles? They were all martyrs. But did they lose their faith? Did they lose their commitment to the Lord? Did they turn their back to the Lord? No. Why? Because they have a real and personal encounter with the Lord. You know, always dream of a church that when somebody comes to this church, they should have this kind of something there is different in this church. You know, in our church, and then thank God for this, you know. And that's why I tell you, 24/7 prayer is very important. Don't take it lightly. Because prayer would invite the presence of God in the church. Okay? You know, we have experience in the church. You know, people are coming, even at the entrance of the church, people, they are crying, and they said, what I'm feeling? They feel strange, and then they're just, all of a sudden, they are just crying. And then they feel that they felt that they are sinners, and they need God. That is a personal encounter with God. Amen? Dream of a church like that. That when everyone comes to this church, they will find, indeed, the Lord is here. Amen. I tell you, that person will keep on coming inside the church. They are not being forced to stay, but they have the initiative to come because they feel something good, something wonderful. Amen. Number two, lovely fellowships. Okay? It is important to have a lovely fellowship. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as nursing mother cares for her children. So we cared for you because we love you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Lovely Fellowship is a church where the people are authentic, loving, caring, joyful. Amen. That's why I tell you, when you come to church, please smile. Wear a big smile. You know, because I tell you, people in the world are very lonely. They are sad. They are desperate. They are depressed. And then when they come to church, then they will say, oh, nothing at all. Nothing changed at all. There's no difference at all. Do you think they will love to come to church? If they go to church, oh, our people are here desperate. People here are depressed. Oh, I think I cannot find something here. They will just go out. But if they, you know, I tell you, when you come to church, always decide to yourself, I'm not here just for me. I'm here to minister to the Lord and to minister to others. Regardless of what you are going through, wear a big smile, because it's not for you. It's not because you are pretending that you don't have a problem. Yes, the problem is given. What you are going through is there. But for the sake of being a minister of God, but for the sake of you want to be a blessing to the people, just set it aside and be a minister. Wear a smile, be joyful to other people. And somebody, oh, you are very joyful. Oh, if you don't know, if you know what I'm going through, you will be. Yeah, but you know, every time people will come and then see you, that you're smiling, you're so joyful. Wow, there's something here very contagious. Amen? There is a virus. What kind of virus? The joyful virus. Amen? This is the only thing, the only virus that is allowed for everyone. Amen? Amen. Are you here? That's why I tell to the person next to you, I am joyful today. Amen? Never. Pastor, never come to church without joyful spirit. Amen. Okay. Pastor, give me time. Huh? Because this is my last Sunday. I want to give everything that I have to say to you. So, is it all right for you if I finish 1:30? Okay. So warm. They should feel that there's something here. A warm fellowship. That when they look at you, everyone here. It's a totally different house setting. You know, when you go out here, it's like you are in the bridge. But in the Philippines, different. Vice versa. When you go out, you're like at the entrance of hell. It's so hot. Okay. You know, warm, ambience, so atmosphere can be felt. Okay. The same thing in the church. Okay. It's not because we have to put. It doesn't. It's not about putting a heater here. It's a spiritual warm, spiritual ambience, a warm atmosphere that when the people come, oh, there is something here. People in the world are cold. Amen. They need something when they got inside the church. They feel in their heart, there is something here which I really need in my life. Do you think that people will keep on coming on the church? Yes. Amen? Amen. While we keep on accumulating, okay, these environments, these are the environments that serve as breeding ground for growth. It is best maintained in the small group relationship pattern. The idea is growing small. Say, growing small. Oh, it's a paradox. You know the word paradox. Usually, the mind, what we have in mind, when growth happens, it's become larger. But here is a different. Growing small. The church should grow small. Oh, Pastor, I thought you are teaching the church to grow, to make the church grow larger. You know, it will not happen if the church will not grow smaller. What is this concept of growing smaller? Okay, while we keep on accumulating and accommodating the believers, we ensure that the lovely environment of the fellowship is maintained. Amen? Because the tendency, when the church becomes larger, the temperature of fellowship becomes colder. We talked about last time that the importance of small group. The division of God in the world is multitudes, but it can only be the concept of God to make that dream happen is in the family or in a small group setting. Why? That there should be a relationship pattern. That there should be a knitted relationship that will happen on that. Okay? Because when the larger group is, when there's a larger group, you know, the relationship is very superficial. Hi, hello, yeah. But let's go deeper. Okay? The relationship of every people must have, should not be superficial. The relationship within the church must be totally, they really know each other, they love each other, they support one another, they know the weakness of one another, they protect one another. You know, I have assignment for you. Try to find out in the New Testament, especially in the writings of Paul, the epistle, trying to find out every word one another. And you will find out how the relationship in the church works. That is what growing small is all about. It is while we are growing larger, still we grow stronger in ourselves, in our small groups. That every relationship is very needed. Amen? You see? Why? Because we believe in the concept that, okay, we should grow lovelier. Okay, I have word here. We should grow lovelier as we grow larger. Amen? You know? You will see that largest churches in the world are, you will find out, just try to make a research. Try to find out largest churches in the world. You will find out that they have a small group where all members or all the attendees in the church are being accumulated or being a member of a small group. They make sure that each one who comes to the church are having the kind of relationship that they need to have for them to grow, because they understand that to grow a church, they need to put in a kind of relationship conducive for growth. You can testify to yourself. Where did you find your growth? You find your growth because of somebody, people besides you that help you. You find growth because somebody took care of your needs. Isn't it? Because somebody talked to you, somebody corrected you, somebody guided you. Isn't it? I tell you, if it will not happen, the church won't grow. Do you believe in the principles that healthy cells, okay, our body is composed of cells, okay? Millions of cells. The principle is this. Healthy cells makes the body healthy. Amen? If the cell is strong, the whole body is strong. If there is no close relationship within the group, I tell you, the whole body is weak. How to know if the church is strong? Find out the small group. Find out their relationship within one another, and you will find, the church is not strong. Amen? Okay. I have some things that I want you to see. Maybe this is one of the frequent asked questions, especially in the West churches, that they said the small group concept is not working in our church. And then if we accept that argument, if we accept that idea, then we will disregard or we will ignore the principles of the word about the vision of God to have a multitude of people with God's likeness or with God's image. But it is best done in a small group pattern. We might disregard it. And what is the problem? You know, the problem is not, the question is, why small group system doesn't work in some churches? The problem is not in the concept. It is, but on its development process. Because people, they don't develop themselves. They don't know how to develop themselves to make that group, to make that relationship work. Okay. There are three major reasons why the small group don't work. Could give us tip how to work on our small groups. Number one, failure to break the independent spirit. Do you believe? Because, you know, I don't know your culture. I don't know much of your culture. But I have a slight glimpse of the culture. People in the West are independent. I can manage this. I can do this without your help. You know, we were wondering. You know, we are working in a. We used to go to Eden Gate in one of the homeless charity place in Newport, and then we approached somebody. Oh, can we give? Because we want to bless him and one homeless there. Want to bless him about. We just want to give him something. You know, this homeless guy, I can manage. So I don't need it. He's at needs, and then he's a man offering him something. And still he keep on saying, I can manage myself. You know, let us accept the fact that we cannot live alone in this place, in this world. God created every one of us, dependent on each one of us. And if we don't break the independent spirit, small group in the church will not grow or will not prosper. We believe that there is a individual, individual features of everyone. Okay, we believe that there is an individuality. Okay, But that individuality must be brought into a group so that everyone must be ministered to one another. Amen. For example, look at your hand. Are they all the same? Imagine if all your fingers are thumb. So imagine how ugly is your hand if everyone is a thumb. You know, they are different. They have individuality. You see? But they are together, ministering to one another. If you will learn the principle of the hands, although they have individuality, but they work together. Imagine if your group, just only people with different individuality, but they work together. They break the spirit of individuality. I tell you, this hand, this group can work mighty things. Amen. I tell you, I have a lot of things to tell you. Okay. Number two, failure to overcome obstacles in developmental process. Of course, do not expect that when you are doing the small group, oh, everything should be okay at once. No! There is a developmental process. What are those? Remember that there are four areas of growth. Number one, there is a exploration stage. Okay, number two, transition stage. Number three is a community stage. And then number four is outreach stage. Okay, I don't have to detail it, but there is a stages in every group. Okay, exploration, transition, community, outreach. Okay, number four, failure to focus on discipleship and leadership development to prepare for expansion and multiplication. You are not just gathering for something, for you to be fed, for you to be comfortable. No, you gather for you to be, of course, for you to grow, to give you an avenue where you could feel that you are secured. But somehow it should not end on that point. The group must grow. The group must expand. Okay. Okay, number three, the third principle, the unity and purity of the church. Luke 5:22. He saw at the water's edge two boats. They left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Okay. Why is it important that the church should maintain the quality of purity and unity? That people who come to the church must really feel that there is unity happening in the church, that there is purity in the church, the sense of holiness are imminent in the church. Why? You know, there's a principle. Why the fishermen needs to clean and mend their nets from time to time? Have you seen... Is there anybody here a fisherman? Oh, no, in the Philippines, fishing is very common, okay? So fishing work is like this one. So they use nets, okay? Nets, after it is being used, it needs to be cleaned and it needs to mend if there is some broken pieces there. Why? Okay. Because if you use the nets, and if you don't clean it, just use it again, and there is dirt or some things that being strangled there, then when it is being laid within the waters, the tendency is this: when the fishes comes and they see something, because you know I tell you, nets when it is being laid down to the water, nets are invisible. It could be noticed by fishes. But if the nets are dirty, and then the fishes coming, they will be frightened by something that is in that. Oh, there is a predator. But actually, it's not a predator, or maybe it's just a plastic there, or some weeds that are there. Then pieces might think, oh, there is a predator here. Then the piece will turn around. It drives away fishes. Unclean nets drive away fishes. The church, if we allow sins in the church, I tell you, the people feel this in the church. There is something wrong here. They will feel uncomfortable. That's why purity is very important. Then number two, the nets must be mend. Okay, why? Broken nets lose out the fishes. It's not being clean, but it is being knitted. Why? Even if you catch big catch, and if the nets are broken, they will all be gone. Okay? Amen? If the church has a broken relationship, the tendency is when the people comes, they will just feel, oh, there is no close relationship here. People here are biting each other, gossiping to one another. There are lots of unsettled issues, relationship unsettled issues. You know, the fish feel it. Fishes feel it. Amen? Have you seen something? It is important. Amen? Number four, availability of spiritual foods. Okay? When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-law prepared to return home from there. You see, it was the history of Naomi when they went to Moab, but all of a sudden, Moab had a drought and then when they heard that in Jerusalem, in Israel, there is a food, or the Lord is prospering, the land where they used to be, you know, and then when they heard it, they plan to go back to their homeland. You know, I tell you, when there is food, spiritual food, in the church, there is a a abundance of spiritual food in the church. You know, people will keep on coming because they are being blessed, they are being fed every time they come to church. Amen? That's why it's important. That's why from the top leadership to every leaders in the church should have a spiritual food in your heart. That every time you met somebody, you met people, when they talk to you, they get something from you, from what you are saying. Amen? That's why it's important for us to have a, you know, daily intake of the word. Amen? Amen. As if like you are nursing mother. A nursing mother cannot afford to run out of food. You see? You should always have food. Amen? Because you have babies to feed. Okay. Where I am now? When there is spiritual bread in the house of God, people will love to come and stay. Church starvation leads to church stagnation. Okay, number 5. The sense of vision and purpose. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instructions. Proverbs 29 verse 18. In other verse, when there's no vision, the people perish. People love to see when they are where they are going and how they get there the best way possible. When the church has a sense of direction, sense of vision and purpose, people loves to ride on it. They especially when you are very clever in presenting your purpose in such a way, people will really be excited on it. You know, people will love to buy that purpose and vision, sense of vision and purpose. Okay? Okay, people want to be involved in it. They want to be there. They want to be part of that, especially if it is presented great endeavor or great quest. Okay? Number six, the church relevance. Okay? One of the things that that the people loves is they see and they experience that the church is very relevant to their needs. Amen. It is important that the church is very relevant. Amen. Church relevance. Okay. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, 20 to 22, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. You know, you see, Paul is adaptable. Amen? He knows how to contextualize himself to a situation, to a person whom he is ministering to. Amen? The church should have this kind of image. The church should know how to contextualize it or to adapt in a situation, in a society, in a It is innovating relevance of church images and services without compromising its foundational doctrines and spiritual values. See, is it there? Oh, okay. Yeah. Innovating relevance of church images and services without compromising its foundational doctrines and spiritual values. Amen. It is important for us to think how to make the church to be relevant in our present situation. Okay? Imagine, look. For example, I know that the Western church before, or the traditional church before, wear, you know, veil. Okay? And then they wear long gown then when they go to church, and then try to do it today and try to win the young people. Do you believe that do you think people will love it? Do you think it is relevant for them? Okay. We must be relevant. But I tell you honestly, Woodies are amazing. Amen. I know you work for relevance. You know, the church in Woodies are different. That's why I tell Chris, oh, the church certainly will grow. Why? Somehow, the structure of the church evolved. You know? We are not, your church now is not like the old cathedral. Oh, amen? It evolves now to the present situations. You know, this might be the reason why some of the cathedrals are empty now. Why? You see now here in United Kingdom, there are lots of cathedrals are empty. Why? Because it did not evolve to the present situations. Do you believe that Woodies will grow? Why? Because somehow you learn to evolve now without compromising the profound foundation of the word, doctrine, and values. Amen? It is just our we are wearing camouflage, but still Jesus, the genuinity of Jesus in your heart. Amen? Just let them find out. Amen? They will see there's still Jesus here in my heart. Amen? Amen. Let them people come. Amen? Okay, look, the church facilities should be relevant. The structures should be relevant. Amen? Parking. You have to work on it, Pastor Chris. Amen. Amen. Look, a lot of churches, not only here, but in the Philippines, there are churches. If you want to catch those in the upper level people, then prepare something that is relevant to them. They will find out. Oh, for example, if they have Ferrari, I want to go to church with my Ferrari, and then you will just park there in. Maybe they will just find something that, there's a good and lovely parking place there. Amen. Oh, you know, those people who are car lovers, they treat their car like a baby. Amen. And then here you are at church, then you will just, being insensitive, then say, just park your car there. No way. So make it relevant. Okay? Pray
to move every businesses, then we will make your
parking lot. That's a good idea. Okay, relevance. Audiovisual technologies. Amen. The
world is very clever.
And the church is archaic. From the 15th century church, and then try to use it today. Do you think it will catch young people? No, it should be relevant. So try to work on it, okay? This is just a principle, relevance of the church. Okay. I'm about to finish, Pastor. Okay, remember this. Satan is very clever in keeping all his victims in confinement to his wicked philosophies and false beliefs. Because he mastered the art of relevance and likelihood. Hello. You see, why people buy up, embrace such evil philosophies, such beliefs, to the point people doesn't want or don't want to leave. They embrace it. And in fact, they will fight for it. Why? Because Satan mastered the art of relevance and what is it? Relevance and likelihood. Because they like it. They see themselves, this is very beneficial to me. This is very relevant to me. You see how clever the devil is? Why young people love worldly music? Because they feel it is very relevant to them. Amen? Amen. You know, the Lord Jesus said, be shrewd as a snake, be wise as a serpent, but be innocent like a dove. Amen. Let us make the church, ensure the church everything possible, every possible ways to make the church lovely, to make the church habitable, okay? To make the church the people will really just love to come. Amen? That's why my question is our church has the sense of attractiveness? Is our church and its people are likable? Or tell to the person next to you, tell to her or tell to him, you are very likable. Amen. By faith. By faith. You are likable. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you here? Amen. I want you to be joyful. Say, yay, I'm likable. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I tell you, the back door of the church will be closed. If any people come here, they will feel, oh, I think this is my haven. I think this is my place. Amen? Amen. Try to make the people feel that this is their place. Amen? Because the devil knows that. Amen? Amen. What impression do we give to the people the first time they came? That they would love to come back and stay. Let us be clever to do everything possible to preserve the harvest. Amen? Amen. Amen. Shall we give clap to the Lord? Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! I'm excited. Amen.